Okay, Connor, Dr. McManus, good to see you back at the table. You had your little break there. Dr. McManus is going to give us a report on the recent review of the monkfish catch per unit effort project. We'll take a quick break for questions around that, and then I'll roll into the social science subcommittee update. He probably doesn't have as much background, and you know, I asked him, he doesn't have a phone with a friend there, so probably if you do have questions, those will probably be pending, and we'll get back to you on that. So I'll turn it over to you, Dr. McManus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good to be back. And yeah, so as stated, I'll work through a sub-panel review that we had on evaluating some recent monkfish catch per unit effort work, and then a quick update on where our social sciences subcommittee has been up to over the last several months. So for the first topic, we had a sub-panel of us, myself, Dr. Jason McNamee, and Dr. Lisa Kerr, review work presented by two research parties as they relate to developing monkfish catch per unit effort indices. And so the goals here were to try and evaluate the strengths and weaknesses of the methods as well as the utility of the work moving forward. A bit of background and context. For those of you unaware, iSmooth has been used as the approach to set monkfish catch advice since 2016, which the method primarily relies on fisheries independent surveys to ultimately guide the direction and magnitude of changes in stock abundance, which then has a recent catch applied to help inform catch advice. Inherently, the method itself does assume that the fishery survey adequately tracks the stock trajectory over time, as well as that the survey reflects the recent response to recent fishery catch. And so over the years, there's been questions, I guess, particularly from the industry, but just at large about the degree of which any given survey, particularly the bottom trawl, tracks monkfish consistently over time due to various elements such as changes in distribution of the animal, availability, environmental drivers, and such. And so developing CPUE indices had become a particular recommendation from recent deliberations and within the research community as well as previous SSC discussions, and there was effort to try and pursue this as part of the monkfish research track stock assessment, but with that research track assessment being paused, there was still a desire to move forward with evaluating the utility of these tools as they relate to stock assessment and fisheries management advice. So for a project overview, continued, we received project updates and reports from two different groups. The first was a team of scientists from the University of Massachusetts Dartmouth School for Marine Science and Technology in collaboration with the Cape Cod Commercial Fishermen's Alliance as part of a project partially funded by the Research Set-Aside Program, where they were looking to derive CPUE indices using vessel logbook and trip reports. This project, one of the greater strengths of it was that it's leveraging data from as many people in the fleet as possible through this type, this based on the data type that they were using. And additionally, this work was further informed by a series of workshops with the industry within the region to try and help get their feedback on some of the modeling that was going on, but also better understand the context of the fishery and some of the real important variables to consider as they work towards their model development. The second report was the Northeast Fisheries Science Center's Cooperative Research Branch's study fleet and observer data, and looking at a number of different fleets, and also using a randomized subsampling approach to work through the data and characterize the fleet. And I think the advantage here is that while there isn't as many participants as in the logbook and trip reports project, the fine scale spatial temporal resolution of the data is much higher, as well as additional data fields collected that allows for other opportunities for understanding things like covariates within your model structure. It was highly appreciated by the subpanel that throughout the work, as well as in preparation for the subpanel meeting, that there was great collaboration between the projects to make sure that they were complementary in nature, and really kind of thinking about all the various tools and data sets available. They use, you know, generally similar statistical approaches, which allowed for ease in comparing and contrasting some of the results. And they also, you know, again, strong communication towards sharing findings and discussing what has worked and not worked. So we had a series of two major TORs with a series of sub TORs within each one. So I'll go through generally our findings by sub TOR, and then happy to circle back to any of them in more detail if you'd like. So with the first TORA, this was really designed to evaluate the methods and summary products. And so in general, the subpanel found that the products adequately describe the data sources, methods, and assumptions used when deriving the CPUE indices. One thing that was strongly recommended by the subpanel was the ability to reproduce work. You know, given the discussions that we've had about, you know, ability to reproduce data quickly and even in an automated kind of fashion, the subpanel was very much keen on making sure that the models and the data workflows could be reproducible to allow for updating over time as needed for whatever it may be, assessments, SSC discussions, management guidance. Additionally, there was a little bit of discussion and request for in the future to have more information on model diagnostics, selection processes, and trying to make sure it's clear, a little bit clearer as to some of the decisions and that were made, as well as thinking about further evaluation of the different covariates within the models. We also discussed evaluating additional effort metrics, particularly as for the more complicated instances like understanding effort in the gillnet fishery. And then we also discussed, particularly with some of the finer scale data from the Study Fleet Observer data set, more exploration into some more advanced analytical methods to deriving CPUE indices, such as some of the traditional ones we've been talking about as of late in our SSC deliberations, such as VAST or SDM-TMB, some of the more sophisticated modeling tools that allow for better understanding spatial-temporal dynamics. Continuing on that, the projects we believed were efficiently characterized the trends in monkfish catches by gear type in the management area and did address key areas of uncertainty as they related to testing various variables within the modeling effort. Overall, we had a pretty lengthy discussion about the processes of which to on-ramp catch per unit effort indices into whether it be stock assessments or fisheries management advice or a deliberation. So there was one of the other benefits is that, you know, the product teams had great experience in developing CPUE indices, not just for stocks on the Northeast U.S. shelf, but through national and international efforts. So there was references to a series of different standard practices used for different areas, such as ICAT, or I believe even some species through ASMFC. So there was discussion about whether it would make sense for New England Fisheries Management Council stocks if we work towards developing more clear guidelines and recommendations for when and how to integrate CPUE indices into stock assessments or fisheries management guidance. And then we also, again, continued the additional exploration of the models as it relates to the influence of the skate fishery dynamics when deriving gillnet indices for monkfish. And it should be noted that the product teams really worked hard at this, and I think that was also reflected in the workshop deliberations and feedback that was received, and the various testing was done to try and include it and did not help improve the models when doing so. But we suggested to keep at it and think of other ways and that may be useful in additional engagement with the fishery, as well as potentially other data streams or other ways to think about some of the data available. We also discussed, you know, to the degree of which other considerations like catchability should be further explored, you know, whether other variables like temperature and such should be included to better capture interactions with catchability, as the discussions on hyperstability and such with CPUEs is often pretty pronounced. And so does incorporating some of the environmental drivers that may be influencing catchability allow for further exploration of that concept of hyperstability or lack thereof? The subpanel also noticed that, you know, when looking at the different trends from the different data sets, there was certainly coherence, but they also noted that when you look at some of the more specific response variables to CPUE, you started to get a little bit of a different sense of, you know, how depth or some of these other variables interact with cache. So there was a recommendation to further compare not just overall model performance, but some of the actual information we get out of the CPUE models, such as comparing response curves of the various covariates. And there was also a bit of work done to understand technology creep, or effectively how evolution of the fishery and gear and vessels that could influence catch could be addressed within some of these exercises. So there was a sensitivity run that was done to try and explore what something like technology creep could do to inference on CPUE indices. And which was really helpful in terms of exposing certainly the subpanel, but to us as a larger community as to the potential impacts. But there was certainly feedback of this, you know, future iterations that consider technology creep should really start to focus on the evolution of the fishery over time, whether it be related to, you know, changes in technology available for fishing or fisheries management itself. So then the last part here in TORA was discussing, you know, the context of comparing CPUE indices with the Science Center's bottom trawl survey. And so the tools or the information presented to the subpanel was largely through visual comparison of indices and correlation analyses between the various CPUEs and the bottom trawl survey. We had a discussion about, you know, whether correlation coefficients or even significance in correlations should be used as a metric, and we ultimately agreed with the subpanel that shouldn't be, because there was a long discussion about when having a CPUE index, the degree of corroboration with the bottom trawl survey, you know, can be viewed in different ways. For example, the lack of coherence may highlight that there's a unique feature being captured by the CPU indices that's missed by the trawl, so inherently they would be not correlated highly, because the CPUs are picking up a new insight. And so really kind of thinking about what a significant or strong correlation would mean, we were really kind of cautious about how to interpret those type of metrics to make sure that we're getting the new insight from the CPUs that we are striving for when available. And then we also discussed in future comparisons, it may be useful to look at other metrics between the different approaches or the indices, such as things that can describe uncertainty or precision, such as looking at coefficients of variations from the survey as they relate to those as estimated by the CPUE models. Okay, so now switching to TORB, in terms of evaluating the utility of the outcomes, ultimately, the overall consensus was that this work could be highly useful in a number of settings as it relates to stock assessment, fisheries management deliberations, or even SSC deliberations. So in the context of the overall indices, there wasn't a specific index that the subpanel recommended, you know, moving forward with or not. Holistically, they supported the project team's recommendations of a subset of indices to move forward with, primarily as they relate to the different data streams for both the northern and southern management units. But the subpanel overall was, you know, hesitant to say stop this development of this model or that model, as there was a series of recommendations that we made that if addressed or improved could maybe inform that that final decision making a bit more, as well as making sure that the indices that we're using could be used for different applications and some for some of the applications and some not for others. So to pick a single index, the subcommittee did not provide a specific recommendation, although they did note that that some of the northern trawl indices could still be really useful moving forward in terms of expanding their development. So we also had noted that if there had to be a priority of indices to continue developing, some of the observer ones may be of use because of the consistent data stream across both of the management units. And again, whether one or multiple indices are used moving forward for, let's say, a stock assessment would kind of really depend on the overall application. So in general, whether you have an analytical model that's, age or length based versus a empirical approach, whether it's iSmooth or something or a data update, I think all of those would have different utility or on-ramps. So it's really important to think about what the assessment scenario is looking forward. We talked a little bit about, in the context of iSmooth, what that might look like. And there could be opportunity to include it, but there are decisions to be made in terms of when integrating CPUEs with the bottom trawl survey or things of that nature. How would you weight each index? How would you, what years would you start with? Because the time series may be different for the bottom trawl and for the CPUE indices. So there's deliberations that would need to be thought through a bit more as to their integration. I think one of the other elements that we discussed was accompanying with how we might use them for Monkfish, it would be helpful to have a more holistic plan or perspective as to general practices for CPUE adoption and assessment and fisheries management. So through a number of research track assessments, there have been CPUE indices produced, using various data sources and methods. So there may be an opportunity to holistically sync up how we begin to use these in a more applied setting in addition to the research context. And, largely, coming back to the analytical model or the empirical-based approach would really inform how we move forward. And I think we were pretty emphatic in that regardless of formal inclusion in an assessment, this information is really valuable for the SSC, particularly for Monkfish. We've heard for a number of years the public comment and through PDT reports input on how to contextualize reductions in catch and whether those are reflective of changes in stock size or changes in the fishery. I think the CPUE indices as presented provide a bit more context for those deliberations, particularly as it corresponds or brings in effort metrics with those as well. And then from the management setting, we also discussed that the CPU indices could be useful in days at sea deliberation, depending on the units that are being discussed. So if you think about your catch per unit effort, and then you think about projected effort, you may be able to get an understanding of projected days at sea for the different management units. And I think that we also had a discussion about timing. So it was, we were unclear as to whether developing CPUE indices could provide to be a more useful tool in short-term decision-making if data becomes available to produce them as opposed to an assessment or fishery independent survey data. So if the CPUE information based on catch data and standardized processes for running the models actually proved to be something that could be done swiftly, then that could be a real advantage to having something with a terminal year that matches closer to when the deliberations are occurring. And I think that's my last slide. So with that, I'll pause and happy to take any questions.
Sorry, I'm going to throw you a curveball. If we could just roll into the social science, give you a break there for a drink, and we'll just roll into the other one. Sorry.
No problem at all. Okay, so switching gears then to social sciences. This is meant to just primarily provide an update for you all as to where we, our social sciences subcommittee, has been over the last year or so. And so I also just want to thank our SSC members who participate on the subcommittee, as well as the Science Center staff, who have allowed for us to make some pretty, in my opinion, substantive progress in this area. So we've had two recent meetings in November 12, 2025 and March 10th, 2026, where they covered a series of different topics listed here, but a lot of them focus on the idea of identifying data streams available for being used for making informed decisions from the socioeconomic perspectives as it relates to SSC deliberations, while also considering things like, you know, what are the council work priorities. And there was a recent workshop that I believe the chair gave you background on yesterday, as it relates to assign our project moving forward on data deliverables and outcomes. So I'll quickly just work through these in terms of each of their settings. So there was a lot of discussions about thinking of data and reporting and what could be useful for the SSC. And so there was through the meetings that we've had, staff presented a range of the different fisheries performance products generated by the council and current work to more efficiently and consistently report on fisheries. So many of these you've seen before, but as they relate to monitoring reports, risk policy matrices, and different sections of reportings from council actions. The SSS recommended providing more social and economic information earlier in the council's decision-making process for actions, such as for SSC meetings. This is something we've talked a lot about, particularly in recent, is how do we ensure that we have the data in time to make sure it can be fully considered as part of our deliberations, and make sure that we have all the information to bear as possible. And so that's something that they've identified, and we can hopefully work towards that through our SSS. Specific elements to bring to the SSC can also draw on prior recommendations, such as the social science branch at the Science Center has been working on various performance metrics and social indicators that we would hope to try and leverage in the future. And I think the SSS saw opportunities for making progress in terms of trying to think about consistent and efficient reporting and advancements, and how do we automate some of the data querying and reports that would be needed for more timely information for deliberations. There was also discussion on advisory panel reporting. So there was recommendations of having regular reports from advisory panels on fisheries performance, which would help the SSC understand the factors that are influencing catch and how fisheries intersect or constrain each other. And so there was discussion about whether it would be useful to have some sort of short or open-ended questions that could be asked annually to APs to try and better frame, you know, what's happening on the water, what's happening with the fisheries, that we could help think about moving forward in our deliberations in a quasi-systematic standardized effort. During years when specifications are being set, you know, we would try and include also a series of more specified questions that would be targeted to some of the types of socioeconomic questions and discussions we have at our SSC. And then I think it's important to note that if, like, we're getting feedback from the AP and there is a perceived or noted gap in the information that we're getting, whether it's not the full AP or we're only getting certain members, we want to just make sure that's somehow categorized, or so we can make sure we have the information contextualized in the right format. For the SSC, there was, you know, a support to continue providing short reports, like the cover page of the groundfish risk policy matrices. There was also interest in prioritizing concise summaries for all FMPs versus long reports to try and on-ramp some of the information more quickly, and have these reports reflect things like community characterization and flashpoints for consideration. So switching to that second bullet, again, as I mentioned, at one of the more recent meetings of the SSS, the Social Science Subcommittee, the Social Sciences branch at the Science Center presented a number of the different data products that they have been using, and to describe various aspects of the fleet, particularly for both commercial and recreational fisheries, based on the data and the feedback that was given. The SSS recommended trying to use some of the SSB products at the FMP level and elsewhere to try and make sure they're most adaptable for some of the decisions that we're making at the council level. And we also discussed making sure that their work is, in this work in general for the indicators, that there's communication between them and the risk policy to try and understand if whether some of these indicators are useful as future factors, perhaps, in some of the risk policy discussions. And I think there's a larger context of trying to better quantify not just immediate effects, but the other unanticipated or quote-unquote ripple effects with certain management actions or deliberations that we don't often fully quantify or perhaps have the ability to consider when having our catch advice deliberations at the SSC. And I think the idea of trying to, there was a consensus from our SSC SSS members to really kind of make sure to champion the effort of trying to crosswalk this information from reports and materials to our SSC deliberations. So there was a number of there's discussion about the council work priorities and thinking about potential barriers and ideas for how to on-ramp some of the information from these deliberations. I won't go into them all here, but if there's discussion or interest of certain areas or on-ramps for when social science would be helpful, they were really trying to think about what the different what the needs are and the challenges of meeting them with possible solutions. So, some of the higher level ones are like reproducibility of data, lack of access for certain people to data, capacity issues, and then, some of the other understandings and better understanding for some of the more nuanced fisheries dynamics for the SSS members as well. So, again, there's a number of different solutions and such that are related to some of the potential barriers, but admittedly, they'll continue to work towards these challenges, to addressing these potential barriers as we move forward. And my last slide here is just a quick summary on the SINAR workshop that occurred last month at the University of Rhode Island. And I want to thank, all the council members, members of academia and SSC members and the Science Center for their collaboration and commitment to trying to work towards the goals that we've lined up for the SSS. It was, by all measures, a successful meeting, a lot of dialogue, a lot of communication, a lot of real motivation to addressing the issues and with prospective solutions as well. I won't go into all the details based on your conversation yesterday, and there's a SINAR report forthcoming that will go into more of the details. But I think just highlighting here that the SSS has continued to trying to make progress in this realm. And I think now I'll take any questions if possible.
Thank you, Dr. McManus. I spoke to Dr. Morales. He's obviously a little more up on the CPUE work versus the social science stuff. So, if, like I said, if there are questions around the social science, we may have to get those back relayed to us. So I'll open it up to some questions. Keep in mind, we are a little behind. So if there's major burning questions, if not. Sorry, Mr. Smith.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to be brief. It is on the CPUE, too. So, Dr. McManus, thanks for the presentation. My understanding of the presentation is the SSC concluded that the CPUE index needs a little more work before we can incorporate it into stock assessments, but that it may be ready for prime time with informing management decisions like days at sea allocations. Did I understand that correctly? And if so, can you talk a little bit more about how we as managers could use the CPU index to inform setting days at sea for the monkfish fishery?
Thank you for the question. And I think to the first question, holistically, yes. I mean, the methods and the practices, the methodology largely were sound. The subpanel had a series of recommendations to further address or evaluate before maybe having it be, I guess, on-ramped or used in the immediacy. And I think, so as it relates to assessment, that would take a perhaps a little bit longer discussion as to where are we at with assessments, what's the tool, et cetera. And I think from the days at sea, largely the subpanel's recommendation now was trying to use it as a way to better understand the linking effort catch and the ultimate days at sea allocation that's there, with the CPUE metric being expected catch per individual or predicted or anticipated catch per entity that would then allow for us to back calculate with some prescribed ABC what that might actually look like as a total days at sea. I think that's the general consensus of what the subpanel was thinking. But I think the deliberations last fall, I believe, were certainly informative in terms of thinking thoroughly about the application for the CPUE. And it's something that it probably warrants a bit more thought in terms of operationalizing. But I think generally speaking, translating some catch rate with entities and then trying to use your ABC as a guide for what that might actually mean for days or trips.
I'll actually just follow up along those lines. I've seen some presentations, not just monkfish, but other species as well. And one of the things that struck me was that the CPU actually married the trend of ABC OFLs. So obviously, I understand the work that's being done, and I would just wonder if you had considerations of, looking at this on the guise of, if the stock is not quota limited in attack based or in a days at sea. Well, we have some days at sea in the north, but we also have measures in place where it can be an unlimited trip. So the days at sea is not the limiting factor. I was just curious if you guys talked about what the management measures could and could not reflect in the CPUE trends.
Yeah, thanks for the question. Admittedly, our discussion was primarily targeted around if there was an on-ramp outside of the assessment and the SSC deliberations, it was mainly discussing days at sea, assuming that was the major limiting reagent to effort and total catch. I think there is, I guess the question I would probably poses to what degree can the index guide basically where we've been in terms of effort on average and really better address some of the questions scientifically, I think, about underutilizing catch, is that commensurate with what we're seeing for effort, better contextualizing what we've been seeing in terminal years for the survey index. So we didn't admittedly go into too much detail on other fisheries management metrics that could be used for, but I think it certainly provides a pulse of what the fishery is seeing and what type of effort may be out there that would be worthwhile considering in deliberations.
Awesome, thank you. Any further questions for Dr. McManus? Seeing none. Thank you, Dr. McManus, for both your reports.